And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. The last full week of July, golf is busy. Not only in the pro game, but also in the amateur game. Man, I got back from vacation last week, and I've been packed teaching golf. It's 150 degrees down here. But that's why I built this indoor studio, right? So it's 72 in here and, you know, no problem. So everything's good down here. And, pro game continues on. Now we're back in the mainland and we go up to the Twin Cities. And to help us with that, our man, Keith Stewart at Read the Line is back to break down things, all things 3M Open. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, Travis, I'm doing very well. It's always a pleasure to be on a Stripe Show on a Tuesday. So
yeah,
let's give the people what they want. Let's roll.
Let's pick a winner. It's long shot season, isn't it? I mean, this just feeling. I put a lot of time into this one now. I mean, I've been hard at work last night and this morning, running my numbers. I got to get a win here. You know, you go back to last year, and of course Lee Hodges won 24 under. Yep. Lee works with Marcus Potter, who teaches his putting right over here. You go back to 2022,
we were all over over the postman, came in second, right?
Remember? We were all over the postman, yeah, came in second. Yeah. We'll get to him later. Tony Finau won in 2022. What a year that was. You know, he was just cranking. I think he won the Rocket Mortgage, went back-to-back. And then, Cameron Champ did his thing in 2021. He does those things. Every once in a while, he goes positive 8.5 putting, and he wins. Marcus Thompson won in 2020, and then Matthew Wolf. I remember that like it was yesterday. I was looking at the date, 2019. Are you kidding me? Yep. That's when Matthew Wolf won his first time around this place at 21 under par. But before we get to the 3M Open.
Wait, can you name who was in that playoff? It's three superstars that were in that playoff.
Yeah. Well, now you're putting me on the spot here.
One of them won the U.S. Open.
Colin Morikawa.
Did not win the U.S. Open. The other guy did, though, this year.
But Colin Morikawa was in the playoff.
Correct, yes.
And Bryson.
Correct, yeah.
Yep.
Bryson is your U.S. Open winner, yeah.
I knew those Bryson, guys. I was trying to think of the other guys. Colin was in the playoff, that's right.
Yep. Yep. And Matt Wolf made eagle on that 18th hole in the playoff to win it.
Yep. Wow.
Crazy.
What a field that was. What a class that was. Those guys coming on the come up. Well, Matthew Wolf's not in the field. Colin Morikawa's not in the field. And Bryson DeChambeau's not in the field.
Two out of three aren't even on the tour.
Hey, Lee Hodges is. Tony Finau is, and so is Cameron Champ. I'm not sure about Michael Thompson, but anyway. Guy that's not in the field who probably did a little celebrating after his win over there at Royal Troon. Xander Schauffele gets his second major title of his career, but also just this year. We were chatting before we came on air, and for people that follow the Stripe Show, you know, we've been talking about Xander. Obviously, he's one of the best players on tour for quite some time. But really, you know, heading into the season, there were some question marks with Xander, I think, with his dad's kind of, you know, involvement with his career, his game, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of things that you just kind of scratch your head, and you're like, man, I don't know, man. I'm kind of out on Xander. But then some things have changed, and I think, you know, his dad's no longer out there. Chris Como has taken the reins of working with him as his coach, and I've talked a lot about some of the changes that they've made. I listened to Xander speak in the media. Man, I loved it well before these majors. I was all over it saying, man, I like the direction he's heading now. We know he has the game. He pushed one across the line, all the confidence in the world. Here he is, pushes a second one across the line. You got to give Xander all the credit here.
I mean, at the end of the day, everyone always accused him in the media of not being able to close things out. 65 at Valhalla on the final day, birdie the last hole to win, and then 65 on Sunday at Royal Troon in order to win and blow the field away. I mean, the guy's awesome. It only leads me down a path of only one question for you there, Mr. Travis Fulton, mm-hmm. and that is, and you know where I'm going to go with this, right? If you were a player, would you rather have Scotty's season with six wins and only one major, or would you rather have Xander's season with two majors?
I'd rather have Xander's. Yeah, I think I'd rather have Xander Schauffele. You know, I mean, he's obviously made a ton of money, but he's won two major championships. And I just think at the end of the day, when they add it all up, I mean, those are the ones that stand out, right? I mean, we give the benefit of the doubt to Brooks Koepka, I think, in a lot of these conversations. I mean, he's won five, obviously, so that's significant. But he wasn't a prolific winner in general on the PGA Tour. But that's kind of where, you know, that's where it stacks up the most is, you know, those four tournaments. And, man, you put two of them away like he did, final round of the Sunday, that's gonna just sit there forever in his major championship record. He's clearly now a Hall of Famer. You know, I think when he decides to hang it up.
Wow. And wait, he's only got what, 8 wins?
Yeah, but he's going to get to 12. I mean, Xander's going to get to 12, 13, 14 wins now that he's got two major championships. I mean, he's on his way. I mean, you know, the big one was winning a major, right? I mean, that was going to be it. Like, can he win a major? Can he put it away when it counts? The chips are down. He did it. Then he did it again. And so, I mean, his game is so good. There's no weakness. He can play anywhere. He's always going to have the opportunities. You know that to win. He can go out with his B game and be 2 or 3 back going into Sunday. And then all of a sudden flip it on in the A game and do what he did at Royal Troon on Sunday and just play absolutely perfect, flawless golf and put the field away.
So, yeah, I mean, Scotty still has a weakness. There's no doubt. Xander is by far the most well-rounded golfer in the world.
He has no weakness, but the question was mentally, can he push it across the finish line, right? When the chips are down in the biggest moment, and he failed over and over now, and now to see him do it, I think make the changes leading up to it, both on and off the golf course, I give him a lot of credit. I really do. It can't be easy. Can't be easy making some of those decisions when you're the CEO of your own enterprise, and you know your enterprise is Xander Schauffele Golf, right? And you got family members involved, and you know it's just that's not easy. And when the decisions are made, the tough decisions are made, and then you see the player propel forward. I think that's pretty cool stuff.
All right, Open Championship, real quick.
Yeah,
I'm looking for a name. I have two questions for you, A and B. So, biggest surprise in a positive way at the Open.
Biggest surprise will have to be Thriston Lawrence. I mean, look, I know he's won a couple times on the DP World Tour, but okay. I mean, my goodness, you know, who's the other guy I'm missing? I'm drawing a blank on the guy that qualified to get in that was right there. Dan Brown. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was smoking the heaters. I mean, you probably got to give it to him. I mean, where'd that guy come from? Right. To run up the leaderboard. So, I mean, Brown was, I didn't see that coming. I guess Thriston, you know, he's had some success, you know, overseas. He's not a big name when it comes to American media, but he's had some success. So, but still, I think a little bit of a surprise there. But Dan Brown, my God, where'd he come from?
I'm going to go with Rahm because he basically hasn't showed up in majors this year. And it was a pleasant surprise in my mind. So a positive surprise to see him play so well. He played in the bad weather wave and, you know, he made it. He was what, +1 after that, after those two rounds in the worst conditions. It reminded me of when he won the Masters and he played in the worst wave. It would be nice to see Rahm back for next year. I mean, I know now we don't see him for like 6 months, but it was nice to see him before the year ended to see him make a good move. All right, now, biggest surprise in a negative way, like who let you down the most? Who surprised you with their poor play?
I mean, Rory, right? I mean, we come on these airways on Tuesday and he was one of your big guys and he just goes out there. I mean, some of the shots that Rory hit, I mean, what was the wedge shot from like 120 yards and he misses it 15 yards left of the green. I mean, just what? Like, how does that even happen from that skill of a player?
The weather gets in your head, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you get the high handle and maybe then you'll face cook over and all of a sudden it's left to left. But I mean, you have to say Rory, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but for me, for sure, because I bet Rory and I was touting him last week. It's just a number of people too, though. Like, it's amazing to me that like those guys are so routine about their golf game. Like he and Bryson are high ball hitters, and they didn't change anything, and they got ejected from the tournament. And there's a number of names up there that really had bad weeks, but Rory's by far was the most surprising that he wouldn't show up in a part of the world where he grew up and should be able to. I mean, if what happened with Bryson happened, that doesn't surprise me nearly as much as it does for somebody like Rory, who, you know, grew up in Northern Ireland and played in conditions like that all his life, that he couldn't adjust quickly. I mean, what, they had 13 of the top 20 ranked players in the world in that bad weather wave, and they all were toast,
yeah.
You know? I mean, which in some ways is kind of sad that you like, man, couldn't they figure it out? I don't know. Anyway, those two quick questions for you. That's all.
Well, no, those are good questions. And I think it kind of shoots holes in the open a little bit, right? Where the weather is such a contributing factor to who's going to win. Now, I think Xander was the best player. And so I think they maybe steered clear of some other controversy if that wasn't going to be the case, because it does feel like you go back to when Henrik won over Phil. I mean, those guys separated because of the weather gap.
True.
And so now you come back again and you got a player like Sam Burns who, posts, what do you shoot, like 67, 66 on Saturday morning, and he's 3 under. And then all of a sudden the weather hits and he's 1 back. Going into Sunday because of the weather, all these guys start coming back. So it's just, look, I get it. You know, it's awesome, the weather and this and that, and it's fun to watch these guys struggle. But at the end of the day, when you're trying to, you know, card the champion, it just feels very, very unfortunate. And I think does kind of take away a little bit of the open. And I think for me, why it's number 2 on the list for me, it's number 2, just overall, just when you add it all up. The Open's number 2 for me.
Much like when that happens and everybody loves the difference of it all, which is why it's number 1 for me, is that it's totally different. You have bad weather waves. It's like the Ryder Cup and everything else that happens every once in a while. Let's just keep it at once, and then we'll go back to our little birdie fest in Minnesota this week. So carry on.
And there's a good segue to TPC Twin Cities out there in Blaine, Minnesota. Just like every other TPC, Keith, you know, when we had the traveling road show, we would travel around all these tour academies, and TPC Twin Cities was one of our stops. And I remember when they first built it out in Blaine, Minnesota, there was nothing out there. And so I'm like, you're driving and you're looking around and you're like, I don't think there's a golf course out here. And then pretty soon there's a little gold plaque says TPC. And then you take a left. That's how like unassuming like all these TPCs are. Like, you know, TPC Yasna Palana is like that up in New Jersey. And
oh, come on. You know, that's my next door neighbor.
Yeah. And so all these, you're just kind of, you're looking around and, you know, can someone throw us a bone? Maybe give us a sign that there's a golf course out here, just anything. And so Blaine's, it's grown up a little bit since then. I love Minneapolis, by the way. I'm a big fan of Minneapolis. I like
never been. I got to put it on. I got to put it on the, on one of my visits in the next couple of years, because this event has been a good event.
Mm-hmm. It's good. I like it. I like the spirit up there. I like the downtown area. I think there's some good golf courses around there. They love their golf now. When the sun comes out, these people love their golf and they play golf.
They get 6 days of it a year.
The golf course is fun. I don't know how championship it is. It was, you know, first on the Champions Tour, right? That's, they would roll through there. Okay. And then the 3M, and then they switched it over to the PGA Tour, the 3M Open, right?
Yep.
And so now, of course, they've had some good fields in the past, and now it's kind of in a weird spot, obviously, this year in between the Open Championship and now the Olympics next year. Yeah. So we're going to give you some things to think about. You look at this golf course. I don't know. I think you're going to see a lot of fairways here, Keith, probably. You're going to see a lot of greens. You know, the short game is not going to be nearly as difficult. But to me, when I look at it, iron game, we've got to win in the approach game. I mean, this is huge. You have to win in the approach game. And obviously, you got to make some putts. But when I look at the guys that have won and have done well here, it doesn't mean you have to be a great putter. I mean, Finau, Champ, Keith Mitchell's played very well here. He's not a great putter. So it kind of opens the door up. We just need a good putting week, but we have to be superb with our irons, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to be able to spike on approach this week, no doubt. And there's a little bit of a polar skill set, you know, because there's a couple of short par fours. There's 5 of them under 425. So there's no doubt there that you're going to be hitting some shorter wedge shots, even under 100 yards, some feel shots with your wedges. And then you've got 5 par fours over 450. Mm-hmm. You've got the 3 par fives, which are going to be a long iron play. And you got 3 of the par threes are over 200 yards. So that's what, 11 holes right there where you're hitting a long iron in some capacity with which to score. So, you got to have both of those skills running. You know, it screams like Tom Hoagie, you know, till the cows come home, because, you know, he's the best approach player in the field, or it screams Tony Finau because he's been one of the best approach players on tour over the last, let's say, 2 to 3 months, you know, up there literally numbers wise with Xander and Scotty. So yep. I'm full with you there. And like, I get it that like Cam Champ and Tony haven't been historically great putters, but man, it's more of a risk in my mind to pick a guy that normally doesn't show that they can score and get to 20 under than it is, you know, that's just good at approach, than trying to manage a guy that's really good on approach, but also has the capacity to score in birdie fests.
Yeah. Well, that's where I always tend to lean. You know, when I'm handicapping, I always find myself gravitating to, okay, give me the ball striker, iron. Okay, boom, check. I'm checking those boxes, right? This week, yep. 150 to 200 yards. We got to be good in that area. All right. And then it's like a hope for a spike week in putting. And it's like, why can't we think about it the other way? I mean, why can't we think about it as the great putter who's looking for the spike week in approach game, right? And I don't find myself always that excited to go that way ever. But I am always talking myself into the other way, where it's like, give me the ball. Okay, these guys. And I think they're just, because you know they're going to be having all these opportunities, right? And they just, you know, they're just going to wear out the center of the face, and they're going to give themselves really a ton of looks. But
I mean,
then they lose one stroke putting and they finish, you know, 30th. And it's like, well, why can't I get excited the other way? Give me the great putter where I know they can go positive 7, but then maybe they can give me positive 4 approach.
I mean, quick PSA for me, you know, I tend to blend both on my card.
Okay.
So for every Tom Hoagie this week, there could be a Mac Hughes, because if you only go with one narrative for the whole week, well, man, you better be sure what that narrative is, mm-hmm. because then that means that everybody's going to get tossed if for some reason things go sideways, right? And you want to have some balance there. So just,
it does feel like distance, because, you know, it's going to be warm up there, and they let the dog hunt. They let the driver hunt up there. I mean, these guys are going to be ripping it off the tee. So yeah, it does feel like distance does play to some degree. Just looking at how players have played here, there is an advantage here of some length for sure.
For sure. And it's also played at 1,000 feet above sea level.
Yeah.
Which lets the ball fly a little bit too.
Yeah.
And unlike Troon, it's going to be warm, really warm there this week, and dry. So that ball is going to be flying.
My picks are all over the place this week, by the way.
So, love it.
Just telling you now. But hey, before we get to first click, okay.
All right.
I want to ask you top of the board. We got three guys at the top of the board. And,
okay.
And what's interesting, Keith, at the top of the board, Tony Finau, Akshay Bhatia is number 2 in odds, right? So you got Finau, what is he, about 12? Bhatia
11.
Around,
Yeah.
Bhatia is around 20. And then you got Thagala at 22. All right. So there's your three top. All three of those guys missed the cut last week at the Open. So top of the board, those three.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to sit here and just, you know, wear out the chalk this week. We're going to give you some things to think about. But if you had to kind of give a lean of those three, do you have one?
I would say if I had to number them, I would put Tony number 1. He's one of 17 guys that's played there 5 times. He's won it, and he's had a bunch of top 10s. So sure. He loves the golf course. He keeps continually showing up at a time in the season where you probably don't need to show up if you're Tony Finau. And the guy I put third would be Sahith, because he's been there 3 times. He's got 3 missed cuts. So something just doesn't – the wires are crossed.
Right. What's interesting. Yeah. So, 3 missed cuts. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So – and he's come back, you know, right. Like – so a lot of guys, they miss 2 cuts. They're like, yeah, I'm out of here. I'm not coming back to that place. You know, like it just doesn't suit my eye, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's how I would number those out. So by default, Akshay falls in the middle. But don't forget about Sam Burns there too. You know?
Nah, I am gonna forget about Sam Burns, and that's tough for me to say, because Sam Burns is just iron game is not good. I mean, look, he was. I understand he held some things together last week at the Open, but Sam Burns, give him some credit for the good round on Saturday, but he climbed that leaderboard because the weather came in late on Saturday, and so he was not going to be a factor without all that weather coming in.
Well, his iron game,
Sam Burns is a guy that usually kind of, you know, he's going to heat up and he's going to start winning with his ball striking. Man, his iron game just hadn't been clean. Anyway, fair enough. We're going to forget about Sam Burns. We're going to go to a little something here that we call first click. Take it.
Clicking the mouse on Eric Van Rooyen.
Nice.
That's right. I
know where you're going with this. This is a good pick. I like EVR too this week. He's got a lot to play for.
Now, he has a little bit of a mediocre history there, but I believe he's a better player now. And here's the thing. The guy's got two wins on tour, and both of them came in shootouts. So he's from South Africa. So coming over here, he's an incredible ball striker. And in his last six birdie fests, now these are the events where you got to go over 20 subpar scores, right? In his last six birdie fests, he was eighth at the Rocket, second at Myrtle Beach. Sixth at the Rocket, fourth at Myrtle Beach, second at Cognizant, eighth at Mexico, and then 25th at Amex, right? And he won the World Wild Technologies at 27 under. So, here's a guy that his weakness is his short game. But if you put him in a ball striking place where he can just go low, then he tends to gravitate towards the top of the list. On top of that, he also went to the University of Minnesota. He played golf there for 4 years, and Blaine or TPC Twin Cities is 20 miles from campus. So he's familiar with the agronomy up there. I feel like he's a much better player this year and has been a much better player this year. You see his record there on easier golf courses. And, that's it for me. This is the first time he's coming back up to Minnesota. He had a ton of support last year, but remember that teammate of his that passed away? And, he cried when he won the Worldwide Technology and everything. Well, this is the first time coming back to Minnesota since that happened. And I feel like that's going to be also an inspiration. So those little edges, as well as his ball striking and his ability to score, EVR is my first click. 40
to 1. I like it. And he's got some stuff to play for too. I think isn't he right there on the line with the President's Cup too? Like he's got that.
And, we're also going to, what else we're going to do? You give your first click.
All right, here we go. I'm going to give my first. Rico. I told you I got a wild card this week. I had to shake it up a little bit. This is long shot season. So why not start it off 60-1 Rico Hoey? Now, not a lot of people watch the tournament in Kentucky. They're in the middle of July, but the guy that finished second was Rico. Now, I know this field's a little
bit
better than that. Yeah, lost in a playoff. I know this is a little bit better than that. But I like the way this guy's trending, man. The last three times we've seen him, six at the Rocket Mortgage, 26 at John Deere. He was second at the ISCO there in Kentucky. You look at him statistically over that stretch. Yeah. And how it plays out, let's say, in some of the metrics this week. Last 8 to 12 rounds, the only guy that's checking out better on my metrics is Luke Clanton, believe it or not.
Yeah, I know.
this kid, Luke Clanton. All right, so maybe you bet Luke this week. What is he, 26-1? I couldn't do that, not this week. So I went Rico. He's the next one in line. This 150 to 157-yard metric, he's right there at, 21st in the last 12 rounds. 175 to 200, he's fourth. Approach game, check. Off the tee, check. He's got length off the tee, which we talked about. Opportunities, look, his putter has probably been the subtle weakness, maybe perhaps through this stretch, if you want to call it that. He's played some brilliant golf.
Yeah, he played good.
But I don't know. I just like this kid a lot. I like his game. I think he fits this course. It's his first time seeing it. It's long shot season, folks. Load up on Rico Suave.
Yeah, Suave. Not a lot of people listen to this might remember him. He's 101 on the FedEx Cup list, so he's got to gain 31 points somehow in the next two events if he wants to make the playoffs. So if that doesn't motivate him, that's a cash grab right there.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, don't downplay Luke Clanton as an amateur. I know. We live in a world where an amateur won, and then he turned pro, and then he won again. So. Yeah,
and he's in the field. And that's Nick Dunlop at 40-1.
Crazy.
It is. Yeah, it's not unthinkable that Luke Clanton, who's played brilliant golf, absolute brilliant golf from Florida State, 41st at the U.S. Open, 10th at the Rocket, second at the Deer. He was 39th in Kentucky when Rico won that. So, yeah, Luke Clanton come out, win this thing. He's right there. Crazy. He's 28 to 1. He's the same odds as the guy that just finished second at the Open Championship. And Billy Horschel is 28 to 1. I mean, yeah. If you had to ask me which of those two I'm going to bet, I'm betting Clanton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Horschel's got a little bit of a hangover. That had to be a lot of fatigue that week, yeah. You know? And last week definitely suited Horschel much more than this thing going to getting to 18, 19 under with 23
grinded
birdies.
Out. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, good. Before I let you drive the ship, I want to just a few more names.
Ooh, okay.
You know, Keegan, of course, he's the Ryder Cup captain. He's in the field 35 to 1. Keith Mitchell's played well here. I mean, he's got a couple T5s in the last 3 years, but can you bet Keith Mitchell to win? I mean, he loves this place, but are you going to bet him to win?
Hang on, I'm writing these down. Keegan, Keith. All right.
Keegan, Keith.
Yeah.
No, take Keegan out of there. Take Keegan out of there.
Well, guess what? He announced Webb Simpson's one of his vice captains. So my only reaction to that was going to be, this guy's already working for the Ryder Cup, right? So I have concerns there as far as winning goes.
Take Keegan out. So right, give me – so we're going to rank Mitchell.
Okay.
Cam Davis.
Oh, okay.
You knew I was going to throw Cam Davis in there.
I mean
– And a guy that has played pretty well here, in Adam Hadwin.
Huh. All right. Well, I am 16 weeks sober from betting Keith Mitchell, and I am not going to break that streak for the fact that he's played good there before. I'm on a lot of conversations weekly about Keith Mitchell. I love Keith Mitchell. He is an awesome dude. And I love the way he plays golf. He plays aggressive. It's just the putting doesn't show up. And I was all over him in Houston. That was 16 weeks ago, and it didn't work out. In fact, he missed a cut. And from there, I have just taken a break. And that break has been I felt a lot of recovery in that time. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is something that I should talk to Rory about. I don't know. But I'm going to go 17 weeks without –
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm off too. Yep, no doubt.
Here's the thing. Like, we had a fun conversation before about being really good at ball striking and being really poor at putting and then, like, hoping for a week. You know, I say this all the time and you always laugh, but hope is not an action verb. And what that means is that hope doesn't get the job done, right? He actually has to show some form of change in his putting ability. And he's a popular enough player, especially where you would know that he brought on a new putting coach, or he was doing something up at Sea Island or whatever he was doing. You would know. I mean, you're right there in Jacksonville. You would know what was going on if it had changed. And nothing has changed in those 16 weeks, right? In fact, nothing's changed since the Honda in 2019, which was his only victory on tour.
Yeah.
So I love the parallels between driving the ball and playing very well, you know, on the champion course down there at PGA National with all those double bogey penalties that are available, similar to TPC Twin Cities. I love all those parallels, but I just don't see how this guy gets to 17 or 18 or 19 or 20 under to compete when he can't putt well from inside 6 feet.
Yeah.
So I've got to lay off there. And okay. Cam Davis has had a great record there. Really good record there. He fits
coming
the mold.
Coming off a win.
Yeah. And, you know, I always throw this kind of question out to you, and I go, is Cam Davis winning twice this year?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I get it, Keith. But then, like, you could say, hey, Keith, Nick Dunlop did. Xander won majors, Keith. You know, when you're wrong sometimes. So, like, I would be very wary of Cam Davis this week. I'm not going to bet him, but I think he could play a major role in this tournament because he has the perfect skill set in order to get the job done. And he's proven it there in previous years. And then Adam Hadwin, I'd love to see him turn around. When I start doing, modeling for easy golf courses, just because I want to look at their statistics of like how well they've played, Adam Hadwin always pops up. I mean, this guy can make a ton of birdies. Now, again, he's another guy who's only won once, and where he did win was Valspar, which is a difficult golf course, which is interesting. But he's always good at like the Amex and places like this where you got to score a bunch, but he never quite wins there. Definitely a good enough putter to do that. I just don't know how good of a putter he's been lately. But I could see why you brought those three names up. And I would say of the three, I would go Davis 1, Keith 2, and Hadwin 3.
Okay. I think I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I would definitely go Davis one. And yeah, I think he can win twice. This is a great spot for him. Davis, yeah. You know, clearly he gets in the hunt. He's not afraid. He can put it away. So he's got some win equity there.
Yeah.
I mean, Dunlop, can you imagine if he won his, can you imagine if Dunlop won for his third tournament? It'd be unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean, we started the year with what, 8 straight triple digit winners or whatever. I mean, it's been a year. We've had these chalk and majors. We've had these crazy dumb signature events with like 12 guys playing in them and Scotty wins all of them. Right. I mean, it's just been the craziest year.
It has.
So yeah, I mean, Nick Dunlop won it twice.
No, I don't think so. I love that EVR is 45 and that Rico 60. I love that we gave the audience some things to chew on. I know JT hasn't been cruising that well as we start to get down in the 40s, and I'll finish with this and then I'll let you drive the boat here. But I don't know. It just feels like JT at this spot could just go ballistic with the putter, doesn't it? And I know his iron game hasn't been great. He missed the cut at the Open. He wasn't great at John Deere, 30th, 55th. You know, he's just been kind of making some cuts, and I think his iron game's held him back. But I'm going with the great putter who we know can go ballistic and berserk with it. And then I'm leaning on an improved iron game this week from JT. So I bet JT.
Okay.
T2nd last year.
It was one of my worst beats of the year. Last year, okay, because if you remember, Hodges was up by 5 going into Sunday. So I bet JT on Saturday night to be winner without Hodges, right? He had a 3-shot lead going into the 18th hole on second place, and he tied the other guys. He made triple bogey on the last, and I lost that bet. The words JT Poston are not coming out of my mouth for the 3M.
Okay.
For some considerable time. If we're doing this show 10 years from now and Xander has 9 majors, the words JT Poston is still not coming out of my mouth. Right. And,
so what is? I mean, now we're into the 50s and the 60s.
I'm going to spice this up a little bit. Can Taylor Pendrith win twice in a year?
No, I would put Cam Davis ahead of that. Yeah, but
he's played good.
But this isn't the place for Pendrith, is it? I mean, he's got length and putting, I get it, but is the iron game good enough?
All right, so iron game. How about Tom Hoge?
For sure. Yeah, I'd love to have Tom Hoge's iron game. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't the question.
God, if Pendrith had Hoge's iron game, he'd be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, my God. I mean, well, there's a lot of guys like that, right? All right.
Hoagie's been struggling in July. He hasn't been good.
All right. Up in here, I got a tale of two cities for you, right? There's two guys that I'm going to take, and they both played very well lately, and they both tend to play well on these types of golf courses. And they're both sitting there at 55. And one of them is a great approach player. And he's a very, very good putter. And the other one is just an incredible short game and putter guy. So, Ben Griffin is one, right? He's the approach and the putter. And then Matt Hughes is definitely the putter short game guy, who finished T16 over at the Open. So he has some level of ball striking, confidence going on right now. But this is the type of player in my mind that suits TPC Twin Cities because they can create that many birdies and they can keep the ball in play enough that they can keep pace with, you know, the final day. And then on Sunday, they could shoot 65 and they could win the thing outright.
Let's go last 8 rounds. Let's share with our audience here most birdies, last 8 rounds. And I'm going to do this because it's taken us to a guy that we're getting to here now in the 70s and the 80s. And that's Mac Meisner, who played very good last week. Mac's a good kid, man. I like him. He was part of the very first PXG College Showcase that we did a few years ago. He was part of that group with Austin Eckroat. I'm drawing a blank on a couple of the other guys, but just what a great young man. So it's cool to see him him getting some success, but he's made the most birdies in the last eight rounds. Wow. Harry Hall, of course, we saw win. He's two. Chan Kim is third. He's a guy that I kind of lean in on this week. I'm not sure if I'm going to bet him to win, but I like him to make the cut, maybe a top
Clayton's
20.
Clayton's got to be up there, right?
Yeah. Clayton, Cam Davis, we talked about. Hayden Springer, believe it or not, is up there. Novak makes a lot of birdies. Kind of interesting name if you're looking for some odds, maybe.
Be a good Novak. This is a good course for him.
I think Novak's is a guy that you should look at for a top 20, right? He could be a guy that I could see make the cut and make a run with the amount of birdies this guy makes. Gets a ton of looks. Solid off the tee, or fairly solid off the tee. EVR's 17th on that list. EVR's 13th on the birdies list in the last eight rounds. So
that's a tight window, eight rounds.
I know. I was just saying, giving the idea. Like, so let's go 24. Just saying, like, the last eight, who's made the most? Let's go 24. Mad McNeely's one. Finau's two. Clanton's three. Chan Kim's four. I like this Kim kid. I'm kind of intrigued.
So Chan Kim is a big dude, man. I met him at the Players this past year.
I'm intrigued by Kim.
He is very, very, very nice young man. Incredible ball striker. And
really,
he does score. He scores.
Well, his putting has been the weakness. You know, he had the four missed cuts there straight in the summer. So he's figured something out. Looks like John Deere finished 12th.
He's top five in this field, like tee to green.
See, there I go. I'm talking my see. This is the kind of guy that I talk myself into right here. This is Chan Kim. This profile is the guy that I talk myself into.
All right.
Go somewhere else.
I'm going to give you Chan Kim, but like with 10 more years of tour experience.
Okay. Do it. Justin Rose. Right.
Same. No. That's 20 years. 20 more years. Yeah. No. I'm going to go Vegas, baby. Vegas. Okay. Right?
Are you really?
Guy, elite driver of the golf ball, elite ball striker, and we always need the putter to do something, but this is the prototype golf course for a Johnny Vegas run right here. And he's had good success here too. So if you love if you're falling in love with Chan Kim, Johnny Vegas is the same type of player, right? We both need the putter to kind of wake up a little bit. But Johnny Vegas, with his driver on this golf course, with all the trouble and everything, can really outdistance the field in ball striking. And then if he goes two or three with the putter, we're there, you know?
Yeah, but see, here's where I would push back on that. Because Chan Kim's only been out there for a couple years, and Vegas has been out there since, let's see. I mean, I'm scrolling down right now. I mean, this dude's been out there for a while. 2010. 11 was his first full year.
Yeah.
And so since 2011, we've been waiting for his putter to wake up. Now, Johnny Vegas has got some wins, but I'm teasing here, half of course.
Yeah.
But you know, we've been waiting for a while for Vegas's putter to wake up. Where with Chan Kim, we've only been waiting, you know, maybe for a year, and it has woken up. And it's actually popped his head up. And we can see it. And he's been positive, you know, two or three the last 2 weeks. So, hey, give me the young guy. Give me Kim. I'll take Kim. You take Vegas. And
there we go.
Because right now, okay, look, now we're even on wine.
Whoa. When did we get
Or do even? I owe you one? Or do I owe you one?
I'm up 2-0.
No, you're not. You're not up 2-0.
I've won the last three. You won the first one back in February. I was on the road and you beat me, and I forget who it was.
Speaking of waking up, now you're like, hey, now calm down. Jeez.
Come on. You kidding me? Bottles of wine.
All right.
Here we go. All right.
So you got Vegas. I got Chan Kim. We're going to see who whose putter can wake up. You know who can putt? You know who can putt? I mean,
talk to me.
Wow. Pearson Cootie. That dude can putt.
Oh. I thought you were going to bring him up on that birdie list because in the last eight rounds, that guy's made a lot of birdies.
He was in there. He's in there. He's in the top 15.
Yeah, for sure. Has to be.
I mean, wow. Pearson Cootie. My goodness.
Elite with the putter. And it's a good driver of the golf ball, too. This would be
a
good
he's 100 to 1. He's 100 to 1 right now. You know? Yep. So there you go. You want to go that way?
In five editions of this thing, the average pre-tournament winner's odds is 10,800. So 108 to 1.
Let's keep going. Let's see if there's some other names down there.
I got a guy for you that I am eyeing right there in triple digits at the start of triple digits. Right, okay. Right there at 100.
He was 100. Let me guess, because I got this guy circled too. Is it Ben?
Ben Silverman? No.
Yeah. Oh, it's not. See, I like Ben. Not. I like Ben this week at 100.
No, I think that's a good pick, and he had a nice run back there in March. Boy,
yeah, I like Ben.
Yeah, he was a good.
Who do you got? Who's your guy?
JJ Spawn.
Oh. I don't think I've ever heard you say that name on this show ever.
You have not, but it's a good golf course for him because he puts the ball in play, and he's been playing reasonably well lately, and he's been playing a bunch. So he could ball strike it good enough to do it here, right? So,
wow.
Yeah.
This has been a weird year for you now just to say that, for you to say Ben or for you to say JJ Spawn on this show. This has been the strangest year of all time.
He's probably top 10 in the field for approach.
Gosh, that's the last 24 rounds approach. Kevin Yu, who we're getting into, he's got some odds. He's won.
You want to go straight ball striking? He could put it off a dock into the water.
Kelly Kraft, Finau. There's Chan Kim again. I tell you,
Chan Kim's all over
Keith
model.
Mitchell, five.
Model darling.
Ben Griffin, six. Your boy. JJ's nine.
Yeah,
JJ's nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, in his short game, you know, can struggle, which you could probably push that down this week, right? A little bit.
I'm doing that for a number of guys. You know, I'm going back to my point earlier of the two different types of players. Mack Hughes is going to be the only guy on my outright card that is the opposite of a elite ball striker. Most of them are going to be elite ball strikers. I need to putt a little bit better.
Yeah.
Hughes is the one that I feel like is hitting the ball relatively well right now and is by far one of the better putters in the field. So there's that.
I gave you Silverman, I think is starting to get pretty comfy out here. He's starting to get very, very comfy. You want to talk about a guy who can putt? This guy can roll the rock too. And he can drive it pretty darn good. And his iron game is not too shabby either. Ben Silverman's a nice player. I really like this guy, and I sprinkled a little on him. I put a little on him this week. I just, you know, it's that kind of week. Give me a little Ben Silverman. Last five rounds, 32nd, 35th, 17th, 18th, 31st. Young guy, right in that wheelhouse, like you said, average 108. Silverman clocking in right now at like 100.
Yeah. I mean, I'd just be surprised if somebody under 30-1 who just went through that meat grinder at Royal Troon was like just rolling over here. Like, and even Finau, who didn't play the weekend and probably got here sooner than like Horschel, I would just be surprised. You know, like that kind of golf would make you question your sanity. And, you know, I get it. These guys, they have a week off after this because of the Olympics. So there is no secondary event. It's just a week off, and there's only 60 guys in the field at Le Golf National for Paris Olympics. Right. So like, you know, and then the guys that really need it for Wyndham, you know, yeah, they're going to be completely engaged this week, but they've also just played in the ISCO and the Barracuda. Right. So like, that's where I feel like those guys are like hardened right now. Then that could be a Chan Kim for sure. You know,
here's how crazy golf is, right? Cause we're looking for approach and putting. I mean, that's kind of what we're after here. Now a little distance obviously is not going to hurt you, but you can push short game down. I don't think you're not going to win this tournament with your short game. And then you start getting down to these odds, and I'm a big Matthew Naismith fan. I love that dude. Yep. And to see him play well in Kentucky warmed my heart. To see him come out and go positive 8.2 putting and positive 7.8 approach. Now, if you know Naismith, he can fire the irons. That's not a problem. But the putter the putter can get like
chilly.
Really chilly. And he had two chances to win that thing. Oh my God. He had two chances, like, you know, 12 footers, and didn't touch the hole with either one of them. But, you know, it was still a good week in Kentucky. Finished second. They had like five guys in the playoff or whatever. Pearson Cootie was part of it. And so look, you know, you look at this. And you know, Naismith hasn't done anything, and all of a sudden he comes out and Kentucky goes positive 7.8 approach, positive 8.2 putting. He's in a playoff to win the thing, just like that. That's golf. That's golf. That's the kind of thing right there that if he repeated those two numbers, he would win this thing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
But I'm not going to bet him. So, but I just want to.
I mean, Hodges last year, Hodges 9 with the irons and 6 with the putter.
Yeah.
To your point, right? Yep. There's 15 for you.
Mm-hmm. That's what Thompson did, pretty close.
24.
7.5. Yep. 7.5, 7.3. You know, Finau was positive 8 irons. Champ was a little different. He was only like 3.7 putting, but Champ goes positive 8.5. Like, that's what he does. Like, Champ, all of a sudden, he figures the putter out, and then he just gets contention and wins. So.
Good stuff.
How far are you going to go? You know, are you willing to continue to push down? I mean, Kevin Strowman's played pretty good here. He played good last year, didn't he? Finished second, didn't he? Strowman. Can I interest you in that?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean,
that's as far as I'm going.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, like, Michael Thompson's out there, but I mean, that's literally like throwing darts with a blindfold, you know, yeah. Like, that to me is, not a practical way with which to build a betting card is to start betting like 4 guys over 100, just because there's a great number. And, you know, the guy was, you know, really good at I don't know, the 3M 3 years ago or something like that. You know, that's just not my style, unfortunately, but.
The only guy we didn't mention that I had circled and I accidentally skipped over was Grillo. And I kind of mentioned it to you thinking you were going to pick him. You go in the last 5 rounds or the last 5 years of this tournament, total strokes gained, Finau's dominated. We know Finau just is, there's a reason why he's the favorite the way he is, but Grillo's too. You know, I mean, here's a guy that's T10, T2, T3, 3 of the last 4 years. And so, and you're going to get some odds on him. You know, he's tied with Cameron Davis right there. And then, you know, Lee Hodges, of course, got the win last year. So he's up there. Poston, who I already bet, is 5th, had one. These are some of the guys that have played well here over the last 4 or 5 years. Total strokes gain, total. Had one who I asked you about already. Doug Gim, you know, there's another one of those. Can he find something with the putter? Taryn has played good here. Bradley, there's Streelman T2 last year. Obviously Keith Mitchell, a couple top 5s. I mean, Grillo's the only other name that I would throw out there. And so, he clearly likes this place.
I got one last guy.
Putter wakes up here for Grillo. If you look at the splits.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Does Daniel Berger come back here?
Does Daniel Berger make his comeback here? What's he at, 125 right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's down there. It's somebody I've thought about in the triple digits.
Yeah. I mean, win seems unlikely. But
yeah, I'm just like, he's played good here. When you look at that, you know, strokes gains history, he's played good here. I don't know. That was a guy that I liked out there. And I'm just rooting for him to complete his comeback. That's all. I don't think that he wins per se, but when you have me looking down that part of the board, and I just, you know, he took all that time off for his back because he was injured and everything. And it would just be cool to see him come back.
And it feels like 15 years ago when he won at Pebble Beach, doesn't it? I mean, it just feels like forever. What was it? It was 2021.
Yeah. And he took almost 2 years off for his back. So tough.
I mean, he's had a tough go. There's no doubt. He had a tough go. Yeah. He's missed the last 3 cuts coming in, including he was at Kentucky as well. Yeah, I don't know.
No, he hasn't played good lately, but he's had a good history here. I just wonder if that helps him at all.
You feel like with Berger that it's about finishing the year healthy, playing, getting your reps, playing, have a good offseason, come back, and let's give it a go next year. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. Hey, some names this week. That was good. That was fun. Like, to hear you say JJ Spahn. was worth watching this show. So I hope everyone enjoyed it. All right, 3M next week's the Olympics. You want to do something?
Oh, I'm locked in. I know I do the ladies and the men every week, so okay. I'm looking forward to next week for sure.
All right. Well, maybe we'll if you could maybe share a couple insights with the women's next week, that'd be good too, and we'll talk about the Olympics.
Awesome. I love it.
I couldn't tell the Olympics actually started this week, you know, with the NBC coverage. They didn't really advertise it much. So, but someone told me that. All right. Stripe Show Podcast, Keith Stewart. See you next week.
Peace.